I mean, I feel like we have to understand if it's the Hamptons or Southamptons. Like, is it on the highway? Like, these are important aspects that I need to know. Anyways, we'll find out. Ramona has to know. It is season 10 of Real Housewives of New York. And Luann de Lesseps, the Countess, will always be the Countess, let's be clear. And she's going through a little bit of a love hangover. It's season 10 of The Housewives. Let's check it out right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV super fan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I've got the sweetest hangover.
I don't want to get over. Sweetest hangover.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
I don't want to get
over. Sing it.
Is this where it goes fast? Oh my God, if it does, that means I'm going to have to start spinning.
Come on, Ronnie.
I don't know how to spin. I don't have that much rhythm unless I'm drinking. But I could start stepping to it. No. Oh, sounds so good. This is literally one of my favorite songs of all time, all time, all time, all time.
That's a good one.
Anyways, let's do it, man. Okay, here we go. Real Housewives of New York. My name is Ronnie Jr. We are the panelists for this season. Let's talk about the panelists and all that good stuff in just one second. But first, co-host, hello.
Yes, hey, I am Chelsea Stark-Jones. I am so excited to be here. I love Real Housewives of New York. And you can find me on Instagram on C_Jones.
Okay, well, we will investigate your whole life.
Oh, you should. It's a good one.
I do love Hangover, one of my favorite songs, as I was saying. I want to talk about a couple things. First of all, big shout out to our engineer, our guy in the booth, Steven.
Yes.
Steven always has a strong POV, so you may hear him chime in from time to time. Steven, hello, hello, hello.
What up, guys?
Hey.
Okay, cool. Steven has a really strong point of view, so we'll be able to kind of clue him in on the episode. I'm not sure that he's watched the whole episode, but nonetheless, he is with it. And
I already have an opinion on the fact you should have opened with Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Oh.
But you know what? It's okay. It's okay. The title only cued it in, but it's fine.
I mean, girls who just want to have fun, ghouls just want to have fun because of the episode, or Diana Ross, which was a big talking point.
Oh, yes.
You know, we're all welcome to an opinion, and that is what AfterBuzz is all about. But the first thing I wanted to do, besides finding out what drew you to the show, I want to say, like, a huge special thanks to the panelists before for Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah.
Ashley is always doing such a great job, so we send her so much well wishes, and she is killing it everywhere else, and we miss her. Secondly, I wanted to say that today it's going to be myself and you.
Yes.
But next week we've got a full panel.
Full panel.
Of
we'll be crowded. Yes. But
yeah.
Today it's just us two.
Large opinions and everything. Okay. So what, first of all, brought you to this series? Like, why Real Housewives of New York did you have to lend your commentary?
God, you know what? It was, I've watched every single Housewives of every other city, and it was the season in which Luann met Tom, and I started watching, and I couldn't stop.
Gotcha.
Like, these women are a disaster, and I love it. Just train wrecks. Amazing.
Okay, so is Luann one of your favorites?
I think they're all my favorite, except for, like, one or two. Like, they all just have, like, so many great strengths and weaknesses, and, like, and they just get drunk, and they have fun, and they say whatever they want. I think they, them in Atlanta, they don't censor themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing about Chelsea, she is coming to the panel with us on this program, but also she's a huge sports fan and has done a lot of work within sports analyzing and stuff of that nature. I want to do the very first ever Real Housewives of New York. We'll call it like the Sports Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
I'll explain a little bit about what that's going to be a little bit later. It was just March Madness, so we had this idea. It'll be fun, but let's stop down and talk about this episode. As Steven was saying, ghouls and goblins. The first thing I want to know is, this is for the chat and anyone who's listening to the show audibly. What did you think of the taglines? Were you as thrilled as some of the past seasons?
You know, I was a little bit underwhelmed, but there were some good ones. So first we had Carol, in the marathon of life, loyalty is everything.
I liked it. It sounded a little bit like what she did last year.
Yeah.
It was like in the politics of life, blank, blank, blank. So.
Yeah. It's fitting to what she's going through right now. So I kind of am with it. But yeah, it is a little bit similar. It's not as unique as it could be.
Rating that one to Bethany, I would give her about a 3. She gets a 3.
So we have Dorinda with, I have a big heart, but little patience.
I'll take it. Who doesn't eat Dorinda up at all times?
I mean, Dorinda is everything.
She could walk in the studio, do her voiceover, and be like, I'm Dorinda. I forgot my tagline. And I'm with it.
And I'm down with it.
Yeah, she's so authentic in the way she talks. So
I love Dorinda. Ramona's next. Hers is also a little bit similar to the one that she had last year, but okay. It is, age is an issue of mind over matter. If you don't mind, I don't matter.
I will say I like that one. Sort of hard to trump the last season. She had I'm going to acquire taste. If you don't like it, acquire some taste.
That was a good one. But this one is, Ramona's 61 years old. She's a 61-year-old woman. She looks so good.
Good
so,
for her, Britney Spears.
Age is mind over matter.
Okay,
I like really it. Shouldn't matter with her.
Yeah.
Tinsley's my least favorite.
Oh, just skip it. I swear to you, that was the most boring thing. Waste no time.
Yes.
This panel has to
not,
go.
Hers was not good. I'm not a Tinsley fan. Okay, so we'll go on to Sonia. I'm not just a last name. I'm a legacy.
I dig it. Can I tell you my Sonia reasonings?
Why?
Okay. I don't want to say it's an archetype of a reality TV cast member, but there's a couple of them on a couple other shows. And it is a particular quality that I don't know that I embody in my own personal life. Okay. I don't know a lot of people that embody it. But she has this ability to be very delusional. And I say that with all the love, right? Because I like with Sonia, it doesn't matter where she's at in her life. She could be really like on the rocks.
This is true.
And she will come here with a John Jr. story. And, you know, we were dipping it back in the day at the Palladium. Like, this something about Sonia and just being like...
She's a positive way. I mean, even when her and Ramona later in the episode were Halloween shopping and stuff that she was saying, she just sounded so happy about her struggles that she was going through. She said it with like a positive note. I don't know.
But Chelsea, can you do that in your regular life?
Depending on who I'm speaking to. If I'm going to be really vulnerable to people, I'll let them know. But if I'm putting... I can put on a face.
See, but, I don't know. There's another, like I said, it's a sort of an archetype, and I love this particular character. Different show, there's a gal named Carly Red on the Love & Hip Hop Atlanta series. Mm-hmm. And the same thing, it's like, no matter if she got broken up, no matter if like her kids are doing bad, she'll start every episode, just like Sonya Morgan, I'm doing great. Yeah. And I'm like, as a regular person, as myself, I'm like, when I'm down in the dumps, Chelsea, I don't know that I could do that.
Yeah, and I mean, you're right, you've never seen Sonya upset. I mean, over Sonia, anything.
You can see, like, Sonia, if she can't dances, it don't matter. She'll dance. If Sonia's not, like, in on the conversation, doesn't have the knowledge to, like, hit the argument, she still does it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, she's good.
I eat up all the delusion that is Sonia Morgan. One of my favorite cast members of the show.
Yeah, she's hilarious. Then we got Bethany. It's great to be successful, but it's even better to be strong.
Okay, so we all know Bethany is, of course, like the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
When we get to the end of the show, because we're going to break down the episode right now, there was somebody that made a commentary about Bethany, and it's sort of been a glass-shattering moment. What? It's not saying that I don't like Bethany, but I was like, wow, you're sort of onto something, and I'm going to look at Bethany different the whole time. I'm not going to tell you right now, Chelsea. Okay. We're going to save this right before news and gossip, okay?
I can't wait.
And our little sports report, all that fun stuff that we are bringing to the table. But I still love Bethany.
I'm not
dogging her by any.
Lastly, we have Luann. The most interesting people make the best headlines. And as we know, she's made a lot of headlines this last couple months.
I think everyone who's watched this show loved the Countess from the day that the Countess got in the car, and said to Bethany, but you didn't address it the way it was supposed to be addressed, which was the Countess. I eat it up. I want to go see a Luann show when it comes to Los Angeles, or fly to New York and see her live show.
She's a ham.
Her personality, everything I just said about Sonia, it's like similar, the cousin.
You know, I was going to say, Luann is just like that.
Yeah, I'm eating up Luann for sure. Let's start breaking down this particular episode. So we have some really big stuff with Bethany I'm going to talk about in a second. But first, how did you feel about the puppy passing away? This was Cookie.
Like, my heart is already breaking. So sad. So sad. I have a dog. I'm a dog owner. And I love my dog. He's only 3. But I, like, when it came on, I had to pick him up and just, like, hold him really close to me. And he didn't know what I was doing. But I was like, it broke my heart. It really did. Same thing with LVP in Beverly Hills with the 2 dogs that passed away recently.
Are you a big LVP fan?
I am. Yeah. I am. I like all the humanitarian work that she does, similar to what Bethany's starting to get into, too. But no, it made me sad. I cried.
Well, the first thing I took away from this was Bethany is so strong and so confident. I think one of the reasons I love this show is because of Bethany. Mm-hmm. And to have that context that she was saying, which was, I had this particular animal,
before I, you know, was
this pet,
I
this
am.
This love, yeah, of my life, before any of these transformative experiences, mm-hmm, from the really challenging stuff with the ex-husband, yeah, to the daughter Bryn.
As a single girl, like, I mean, I could totally relate to that. That's when I got my dog, and it's just like, he's my best friend, and I cannot imagine, you know.
Like, where your life is when you pick up that new life to your life, and you go with it for the duration of its life, yeah, and you're not even the same person.
Yeah.
You know, she was always, let's be clear, like, she was always a very confident Bethany. This, yeah, is just who she was. But, like, to have had all these successes and that puppy right there, mm-hmm, I would say that, you had to get sad a little,
yeah,
bit.
And I'm not a dog owner. Yeah, but look back at it and everything. And I think, too, is people don't understand how important animals are to people's lives and families and stuff like that. And I think that was a clear demonstration as to, like, why this animal was such a strong part and a big part of her life.
Gotcha.
Because it was with her throughout her transformation.
Yeah, for sure. Bethany, of course, like I said, we do love, but let's talk about this really great project she has, this organization,
yeah,
Delivering Good. For the most part, it was something that was organic, which is what I love about it. You know,
yeah,
I think she was saying that she started this more for, you know, empowering women, and then it took to Houston, and then it took to Puerto Rico.
And just people catching on, like people actually wanting to contribute to it. So it's actually through a foundation called Be Strong Foundation, which is also kind of a play on words with her tagline. But yeah, it was amazing to see, and it kind of gave you a different perspective about who Bethany is as a person. Like she's a strong woman, she's this big entrepreneur, but she also is someone that actually cares. And like what she said was like, we watch this on TV and we, you know, we see, oh, it's so bad, blah, blah, blah. But then we just return to our lives and we don't even think about it. But she like actually took initiative to like, you know what? Like, I'm not going to go to dinner at sushi and like whatever. I'm going to actually do something about,
right,
it. So I thought that was great.
One thing that I thought when I saw what she was doing with this organization was, with Bethany, because of who she is, I find that, you know, dating's probably difficult. Finding authentic friends is probably difficult. It's probably why she's, you know, good friends with Kyle still, mm-hmm, all these years. There's a certain level of, I don't want to say phoniness, but, the, you know, it's hard to trust people's intentions,
yeah,
when you are who she is.
Yeah.
So what I loved about Delivering Good, I thought to myself, I said, you know, she is going through so much with the daughter, so much, not with the daughter, but with
her ex-husband.
With the ex-husband. Mm-hmm. And she puts that alpha female-ness, mm-hmm, into, mm-hmm, all that. Mm-hmm. And she does it with her business. And on some level, those are, you know, they're very humane things to do.
Yeah.
But for her to take all of that energy and take it to something that is really humane of that nature,
yeah,
I thought it was perfect for her time.
No,
you know?
It was great.
Because otherwise, you're putting in all this aggression. You're, like, dominant in your relationships. You're dominant in your friendships. You're, you know, holding things down with your daughter, mm-hmm, and business and flipping homes and stuff. All of that, while it's good for her personality, it doesn't, like, allow her to really, like, sit in this human side,
yeah,
that I think we like to see on Bethany.
And what I also liked about it was that she wasn't just putting money towards something. She was actually getting there and, like, going to these locations. She was in Houston. She was in Puerto Rico. Like, she wasn't just, like, writing a check. She, yeah, was, like, doing the dirty work.
And I also wonder where you have as a cap. Like, she's always going to want to be successful. Like, of, mm-hmm, course, that's the narrative that, mm-hmm, we see even in the tagline. But, like, you know, at some point, is it, I don't want to say that it's not fulfilling, but there might be times where it's like just weird. Like, she only knows how to run at this speed,
yeah,
let's say.
Yeah.
So doing something so different and seeing, like, you know, people reacting in a way that, you know, is, you know, in adverse times, is maybe something she needed at this stage of her life. You know, she's not a spring chicken anymore.
No.
She's been doing this for a long time.
And just using your platform. I think a lot of people don't realize that are successful, that do have this big platform, that they could use it for something good. Not just for the fame, not just for the money, but you could use your platform to really drive home a purpose, a meaning in life and stuff like that. And I think that's amazing. I love when people use their platform for something like that. So I think it's,
yeah,
great.
she's got it going on.
Mm-hmm.
We love us some Bethany, but can we talk real quick about Dorinda and Luann? And they had a little exchange. What,
yes,
did you what did you take from that? I saw a couple things that I wanted to ask you about.
I mean, it was,
or were you just excited to see both of them back on your screen?
I think I was excited to see them both back on my screen, but I think for Luann, and just hearing her talk about Tom and the divorce, I mean, I've definitely been in situations where I've had girlfriends, you know, that I wanted to, like, shake, like, you shouldn't be with this guy, why are you with it? And, it, you know, obviously I was right and it didn't work out. So I like, looking at it, I'm just like, man, like, so many people told you not to do this.
Yeah.
But then looking at it from Dorinda's point of view, I kind of thought, like, she was the one that hooked them up, correct? Or no, who introduced Tom and Luann?
I'm not sure the exact narrative on
I know that how Dorinda was, like, a supporter of the relationship, I believe.
Yeah.
She was the one ally for Luann. So I feel like if I were Dorinda, I would feel a little bit guilty for, like, kind of being, like, she was at the
not
wedding.
Really. No? I don't know. I don't think you could feel guilty for, like, where Luann takes it. I mean, especially knowing that Tom had, I guess, dated or done stuff with
everybody.
With almost all, you know, Sonia Romano.
Everyone in New York.
She's a big girl. And Luann is, you know, she's confident, but, you know, she shows her vulnerability, which is good. I thought the main point of that conversation was just that it's nice to see Dorinda support her friend, regardless of how she was involved, how she, you know, said
felt about Tom at the time and everything.
Just when the smoke settles, like, you want, like, that good girlfriend, like a Dorinda.
And it wasn't, I told you so. Like, it wasn't, like, anything to make her feel bad about the situation that she's in. It was very supportive.
Yeah.
It was very supportive.
And what I love about it, too, is, you know, with Dorinda, we always see just the loud Dorinda, the clip, clip. You know, we see that all the time. So it was really nice because when I see someone like Dorinda, like, because life is what it is and because she's on a reality show, so much of her energy has to go to that accelerated level. Mm-hmm. But in my heart of hearts, I know Dorinda is, like, you know, I think she's, like, that nice girl too, you know, but just has an exterior that could defend and hold her own. And, cry. I mean, she does it all. So
no,
I was happy
great.
About that.
One of the things I did love, though, when the castmates were all going back about Luann's marriage, Bethany's saying, you know, there's three things in life that are certain: death, taxes, and Luann's divorce. So I think that kind of set a tone. I think that's going to be the tone throughout the whole season, is we all knew this was going to happen.
Good.
We all knew it was going to happen.
I just don't want to see Luann, the Countess, getting dragged, but every season that I watched that Luann didn't have that apple, I was a little offended. I was like, she is apple all day, like, you know, unless it was her choice, you know. So I need this season and every other season Luann to always have her
She's
apple.
Great.
We do got to move through this real quick, but the other commentary I was going to say with Dorinda and Luann was they're sort of having not a petty moment, but Luann kind of expresses that she's going to let Sonia know that there's some issue between them.
Yeah, Sonia's saying something about
her dating life.
Yeah, Luann's already dating after this divorce, which I think, like,
why Sonia?
Well, yeah, it's petty.
It is, but I think with Sonia, again, goes to that delusional thing that I love about her, is, like, she just doesn't know.
Register to her.
You know why, though? Let's think about this.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't have enough. Like, if the same situation happens to her, she may cry a bunch, but she'll never say, like, oh, you weren't supposed to say that. Like, she doesn't get hopped up on things like that in her own personal life. Sonia doesn't, I think.
But she did last year with Tinsley and the whole, like, manners thing, getting out and stuff like that.
Yeah, right? I guess so. You might be right, but I think she comes with that flighty, like, well, I didn't see it as a big deal. Like, it's no excuse.
Yeah, I think she does. Yeah. She's like, oh, well, it wasn't that bad. Like, oh, get over it.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about them when we get into costume for the Halloween. Carol and Tinsley, surprising best friendness.
I know, new
going
duo,
on.
Best friend duo. Maybe?
Okay, so I got to ask the question, Chelsea, new to the panel here. You're here for it or not here for it?
I do not like Tinsley, so I'm definitely not here for it. And Carol's not the most dynamic personality either, so I think the two of them together is just not, like.
Okay, I got to go right in. Why don't you like Tinsley?
She's just boring. Like, we skipped her tagline. She's boring. I can't, like, calling for, you know, room service to bring up a cheese plate. Like, there's things in life that you just have to do on your own. Like, you should be able to do that. You should be able to entertain one person on your own without having to call for help. I think. Like, I can't. She's
it
boring.
Just, what's weird to me is, I said, when I saw that they brought her back and I saw that there was no addition, it was pretty much the same cast, which almost never happens. Yeah. I said, why is Tinsley coming back? Like, I didn't get it. I don't think anyone really liked her. I think it made sense for her to attempt the show the first season because she does come from
wealth and affluence and stuff like that. Yeah.
She had the high society thing sort of knocked on her butt. I remember seeing her in the CW show years ago. And, you know, in your life, you want to just be constantly going up. So she's at a moment where she's not going up and she's trying to just land on her toes. But, like, she she just, I was watching the reruns as they were getting ready for this new season. It feels like she can't even sneeze without making a definitive choice. Like, she's really a meek, meek woman.
She is.
And I get worried that her coming on the show is going to charge her up to think, to be interesting, I'm going to have to, like, do things that
be outrageous.
Yeah, out of character.
Well, I mean, that was the same thing, I think, last season when you, her storyline, her whole thing was just her and Sonia bickering over manners. Like, that's all she talked about, was, like, being a good house guest. And, like, I feel like there's nothing really but, like, what does she do for a career? Like, she doesn't really have a career life. She doesn't really have, we don't know too much about her personal life. It's just Scott.
Well, she was dating, yeah. And that was one of the reasons that Carol and Tinsley became close, because they had, like, this bond. Yeah.
The double date bond, which was cute. That was sweet.
It is. Carol's funny. Like, I've always liked Carol. And then you just think about, like, where you're at in your life. You mm-hmm. know, you're at this certain age mm-hmm. and, you know, she, you know, losing her husband and stuff like that. And even also, like, her credits, you know, within work, you know.
Yeah.
And her being very, I don't say by the book, but she's very, you know, she will investigate, you know, coming from her journalistic side.
Yeah, she doesn't just make random assumptions.
But I just feel like sometimes she, like, overthinks stuff too much, mm-hmm. you know, that it's doing her a bit of a detriment.
You know, I love, though, what she said about her dating situation now with Adam, when, you know, people think, like, he's just, you know, he has his cake and is eating it too, and she's like, well, I also like cake. Like, this is also just for me. I'm also just having fun. So I really appreciated that, because, I mean, a lot of women think that way. It's just, are too afraid to speak up about it.
True. I do see the empowering side, what you're saying. But at some point, is she doing it too much? Or, I mean, because for one, she did. They were pretty much always in the same house. To last season, she sort of kicked him out and said, I thought that was the great empowering move. It was like, you know, you got to think before you judge these women, you got to think, you know, from, you know, having a life that you were supposed to have and then, you know, losing a husband. You know, I feel like when stuff like that happens, you as the outsider can't say, oh, this is how it's supposed to be. No, yeah. I was actually proud last season. I was like, that's right, Carol, you do what works for you.
For you. Yeah.
I do get a little worried that even though she stated that, hey, people are going to look and they're going to think that this is not good for me, but granted, I'm having my cake and eating it too. I don't know. It just doesn't seem all the way there. And it leads me to my idea, like, is this marathon running thing, you know, misguided energy? Either way, kudos to her.
I think the marathon is a good thing for her. I think it's just something like, maybe she's just accomplished so much in her life and she's lived so much and done so much in her life. It's time for something different and change of pace. And,
yeah.
You know, something new. And that's what she's doing with this fitness thing, which I think, when it opened with her running, like, I don't know where in New York, but she just looks so cool and, like, edgy and hip. I was like, oh.
Yeah, no, I like this
Carol.
We're being critical, but, like, I do like Carol. Yeah. For the most part, I think you lose points. Okay, so you lose points when you're not, like, really close with Bethany, because Bethany is the queen bee.
Yeah.
And then you also lose points with the person you align with is now Tinsley. I mean, that's cool, because that's how it happened, but it just...
Yeah.
We'll close our eyes for the Carol scenes. No, it's fine.
We'll hope it gets better.
Real quick, we go Halloween shopping with Ramona and Sonia at Abracadabra.
Yes.
I just like seeing them pal around together, whether they're close or they're not close.
Yeah, they're a really good duo. I think, like, out of all the housewives...
And they'll snag a hotel room from you real quick, too.
I know. They're, like, really good when they're fun and not fighting with one another. They're just funny to, like, be with one another. I like them. I really appreciate them together.
I like that they make up. They kind of, like, break up and make up as good friends.
Yeah. You
know? Back to Sonia's flighty ways, though. She felt
like MIA off the radar.
And she doesn't get that part of her that, like, I need to communicate with people, which I guess you don't. But she just wants to, like, I don't know. She just, as a friend, she doesn't do good things, friend points. She doesn't earn friend points. But she's a nice girl.
She's a nice girl. I don't think she's a great friend. But at the same time, when I was watching it, I was listening to her speak, and I was like, you know what? She obviously just needs time for herself. And there's no issue with anyone taking time for themselves. And I don't think anyone should take offense to it. Like, Ramona getting upset about it, like, it's like if she was really going through a tough time. Like, she was just going through a tough time. Like, let her be and deal with it however she wants to deal with it, whether it be antidepressants and stuffing her face with croissants. I don't know.
Well, ultimately, yes, I am glad that Sonya took the time. Like, yeah. Because I do like her so much. Yeah. Like I say, when I say that she's like a little bit delusional, it's with love, because I'm like, gosh, I wish I could do that. Like when I'm mad, people are like, oh, Ronnie's in a bad mood. She just kind of is always on the up and up, mm-hmm. which I love. But it does go to show that she goes through things. And while I feel like she could be a little closer and better with her friends about how she addresses things, she's fun, she's flighty, and I wish a lot of us could have that characteristic.
No, I know.
Did you have a wraparound comment about that?
You know, I just had to say, you know, Ramona should really listen to Maria's podcast.
Oh, do it now.
For some good life advice, to have fun, to learn, to grow. Conversations with Maria Menounos is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. So
it is really good, because the SiriusXM program is, you know, obviously people love that. But for mm-hmm. the people that don't have SiriusXM, yeah. it's a free version
yeah.
of the podcast. And just subscribe on iTunes, comment. And from what I was going to tell you, we were mm-hmm. talking, you know, out of the studio, all of Maria Menounos's episodes are very like staged in a way that you learn this particular expertise.
Okay.
You know, whether it's an employer mm-hmm. and to employee, whether it's relationship, whether it's how to rebuild the second stage of your life after you do get this divorce. Like a Luann would be good for this podcast. I think Luann needs to be on Conversations with Maria Menounos.
Kind of good
if I'm thinking about it.
Break it down for it. Yeah, and she also does feature a lot of celebrity interviews and influencer interviews, along with secret tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. So,
and I think that the team over there is also really good at taking feedback too. So mm-hmm. if there's stuff that is like not being spoke about, you can always suggest it.
Yeah.
And Conversations with Maria Menounos will make it happen. Of course, she's the captain here at AfterBuzz,
yes.
and you've seen her hosting everything under the sun. So support that. Can we talk about Halloween?
Oh, of course we could talk about Halloween.
Halloween and the costumes. So
yes.
let's break it down for 1 second. I just want to get your opinion on just who was what and what you thought. Dorinda as Lady Gaga, was that a hit or a miss?
It was cute. It, like, when they brought the picture up and you saw what it was that she was trying to be, like, she was pretty spot on. I thought it was cute. It was a fun costume. Not very functional, though. I don't know how she was sitting
down. Right. But I liked it because it was big enough.
Yeah.
You're the one who's throwing the event.
Yeah, you have to stand out.
Yeah, she couldn't be like a bad Britney Spears
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
You know? I'm not saying Ramona was, but she just could not.
She couldn't be Britney.
For some reason, Tinsley was a tan Madonna.
She was Madonna.
I say that because Tinsley is not even tanned to the degree in regular life, but for some reason, she has told herself that Madonna you're an angel, of like a virgin, was tan. It was weird. It was different.
It was her take.
We have John as the SWAT. Dorinda's
lover.
We have Sonya with Lucille Ball. Thoughts? Did it look like Lucille Ball?
No. Like, once they said, oh, she's Lucille Ball, I was like, okay, I get it. But, like, or she was doing the eyelash blinking a lot.
She looked like one of the Alice in Wonderland characters.
Yeah,
she looked too
cartoony-ish. Too animated, yeah.
Okay, we have to go right into your thoughts on the way she conducted herself with the other ladies. The gentleman that she's with, who
Rocco.
Last season it was sort of like Frenchie or Rocco, and Rocco's staying around. He only has a little bit of time there at the venue. So she tells herself, in Sonya form, it's okay that I sort of ignore everybody. Thoughts?
See, no. Because you could still pay attention to Rocco while still entertaining other people. And it's like, just
see,
for the...
she didn't read Maria Menounos' book. There was a chapter that was divided to that.
I mean, it's just...
Why does she do that?
I don't know. It makes it awkward. Just like the two of you just standing at the end of the bar talking for I don't know how long. Like, that's just weird. Like, not talking to anybody, just each other.
Yeah.
Like, why even go to the party if it's just going to be the two of you guys talking?
Because she rationalized it. She said, oh, this is going to be no problem. I'm going to spend the time with him while he's here, and then after that, I'm going to talk with them. She doesn't have that social heartbeat of, like, how people feel. While I don't think you should care what other people think of you, she just doesn't have that social heartbeat. Like, say hi to the ladies.
Yeah.
Dorinda, I think what you do is you say, Dorinda, thanks for inviting me. Stuff like that.
Yeah, and I also think that she didn't want to mix the two roles of Rocco and the girls together, and so that might be another reason why she decided to like keep them separated. She doesn't want like the judgment from the girls and who she's dating and who she's with or whatever. Like, just keep it separate.
So you think protecting
Rocco, her dating wife, yeah.
Okay, but so when we were prepping our show, you and I, you were saying, like, you thought it was weird that, you know, on the Atlanta franchise that Kenya kept Mark out. So tell me the difference in that and how you rationalize those two.
I don't think there's much of a difference. The only difference is that Rocco is a little bit more comfortable being on camera and in it. But I think Sonia is just very... She's a playgirl. So she's, like, dating a lot of people. She doesn't want to get them mixed up. She is very honest with, like, Rocco knew about Frenchie. So she is very honest about it. But, like, she, like, maybe she just didn't want someone to say the wrong thing in front of Rocco. And then she'd have to explain herself or whatever. I don't know. But there's not too much of a difference. Sonia's just, she's just calculated in some ways.
All right. What about Ramona and Britney Spears?
I thought Ramona was a good Britney. Her dance moves were not a good Britney, but her outfit was a good Britney.
and I also don't care. Like you know, was it good? You better work, Ramona, type thing, because, like, you're of a certain age, and you know, society will put all these, we can't do this and we can't do that.
And she breaks like that. Those barriers. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, you know, what would Ramona has to stop being herself because she's over a certain age?
Yeah. 61 in a latex bodysuit.
Which I will say, I have a little bit of a conflict even when I say that, and not to just be jumping around to other franchises, but I was saying on the after show that we do for Potomac, I was saying that while I like, you know, this particular woman, Karen, I'm not sure if you follow too much, but Karen is doing the youngified situation. Yeah. And while I'm like, I like it for the empowerment aspect, I also think it's equally empowered to be like, you are of a certain age and you compliment yourself in that regard. Yeah. So I feel like I'm only bringing it up to show, like, my opinions almost defer, but with the costume and when you're told you can't do that, I'm like, go ahead, Ramona.
Yeah, and she looked great.
And okay, so now I figured out why I mentioned it and brought it together for the most part. I want you as a person to be able to have those layers. Like, you should be able to defy what people say, what society says you can't, but then you should also, like, own the fact that, like, I am of this age, and I got to wear that proudly, too. Does that make sense?
I think she does, though. Yeah. I think Ramona does.
Yeah, she definitely does. Yeah. Okay. Well, I just had to bring that up because, you know, it's nothing wrong with somebody getting of a certain age. Like, I feel like people lying about their age or being embarrassed about it is really
very
funny.
Sorry,
people. We are in a transparent way of the world. You can have your private time, but, like, you know, it's good to be honest. Anyways, I'm spending way too much time on that. let's talk about Luann and Diana Ross. We'll save the controversial parts of it because I want to get your thoughts later. But just overall, what did you think of that?
She should have called Cynthia Bailey of Atlanta and asked about a good wig, because that wig was not popping.
That wasn't the gag, though. That wasn't part of, like,
I don't know. I feel like if you're trying to, like, be somebody, you should be a little bit more accurate. Like, especially a legend like Diana Ross. Like, bring it. My mom said she looked like Marge Simpson. I was like, that's a good one.
No, your mom was just trying to be funny. She was trying to do a meme.
I thought I liked it.
I was with it. Diana Ross had just won the American Music Awards at that time. Not won, but she was honored. Diana Ross had just had that fanny pack thing all over Instagram. Mm-hmm. So Diana Ross at that stage, when they were filming this, was all over the news. So I thought it was a really cool idea for Luann to, you know, come into this love hangover and, you know,
I thought it was cute, her, like, I'm coming out, but, like, I just didn't think it was well executed.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. And then, like I said, we'll talk about the other portion of that in a second, what people are saying, if we agree or disagree. We've got Carol as Amelia Earhead, so that was funny. We won't spend too much time on it.
It was cute.
Carol was the... her Amelia Earhart was the cousin of the safari monster lunch in the Bronx that they had last season. When Bethany said that, I was like, "Oh,
that was really
you do still win on sound bites, baby.
That was a great episode too. She also was smoking. That little smoking bit was hilarious too. And they're like, "You're smoking. You're training for a marathon."
Because she conceptualized it as, this is exactly how Amelia Earhart would do. It's so
She's
funny.
Like, I'm not inhaling.
So funny. What about Bethany as Barbie a la Texas prostitute, in her words?
It was spot on to exactly what she thought she was.
Yeah,
the big hair, the like everything. She looked great, but she's cute as a blonde. She was cute.
Oh, Bethany was?
Bethany
will always pull it off because she has so much confidence and an allure about her.
Yeah, she could be whatever she wants to
be. She could come in early. She could leave the event late. Like, she always makes her presence.
Yeah.
We have, I think we spoke a second ago about Sonya ignoring the girls. We kind of expressed that. But what about drunk Dorinda? Are you here
for... I am here for drunk Dorinda. Always here for drunk Dorinda. She is amazing.
When she started talking about Saturday Night Live, SNL, and made it LSN. Oh, it was...
I called someone so...
Adam Sandberg was no longer Adam Sandberg.
He was Sandberger. I don't know what he was, but it was great.
And at the same time, when you see somebody drunk, like the quintessential drunk quality amongst others... is saying the same thing. And I know it was edited, but like, as like, I don't know when the last time you got drunk, but like for me too, I will, once I channel in on a thought, yes. I'm going to tell you exactly, yes. You know, where this pen was made. Yeah. And so it made me laugh because I'm like, oh my God, we've all been drunk Dorinda.
Yeah. I mean, she was saying it to the same person over and over again too. It was just like, gosh, I love it. But like, she's also hosting the party. So can you really be that drunk and host a party at the same time?
I remember I had to get together on my birthday and it had been gone. I went away. And you just, I think you just trust the people around you. Or maybe she told John, like, this is what may happen. Yeah. Or, you know, John knows her. We all know Dorinda.
Yeah, yeah. I am here for drunk Dorinda. She is life, yes.
Let's talk about Luann and Carol for a minute. Kind of not the biggest talking point, but I was surprised with how I reacted to it. Okay, do you want me to? Yeah. Okay, so Luann addresses Carol and says, Carol, you should have called me. Mm-hmm. First of all, do you think she should have?
No.
Okay.
I think it's nice that everyone else did, but like they've never really had like that close of a relationship. She could have.
They started close, and then it was rocky at that time.
She could have maybe texted her and been like, you know, I'm sorry this is going on in your life. It would be the nice thing to do, but like because she didn't, I don't think anything was wrong with it.
No. Yeah, Luann was too much by asking for that.
The whole thing with Luann and Tom is she always wanted attention with that relationship. So I think even though it went bad, she still wanted that attention. Like, she still wanted people to, like, care and, like, whatever about it. But, like, yeah, no, she just wanted the attention. I don't think she actually wanted someone to support her. She just wanted the attention.
True. I agree with so much of that. And this is why I'm really a big fan of Carol. I did make jokes about her earlier with Tinsley. And there are times where she over-intellectualizes mm-hmm. things and it makes it unfun for her. And yeah. Again, is she going backwards by doing the free sex? Not the yeah. free sex, but, you know, like hooking up with the... Like, I question a lot of Carol.
Yeah.
Especially if she's going to start saying honey and Bethany's yeah. going to go after her. It's going to be a thing. But where I was completely on Carol's side, and I guess you were worse too, is like... Carol basically did exactly what I would have done. If we were close at the time, mm-hmm. we were close. We happened to have been falling out, and that's when all of this happened. Mm-hmm. And Carol made such a great point. She's like, I was the only one who let it be. This is, even if I didn't feel it, whatever, mm-hmm. this is what you wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so when it crumbled, I also felt like, if I'm not close with her, why do I have to tell her?
Yeah, I don't need to interject into it. And I thought it was really funny, too, when she's like, she should have called all of us up for calling us jealous biatches and stuff like that. I was like, yeah, you're yeah. right. Because no, she was so rude to them throughout the whole Tom thing and saying all these nasty things about them. Luann, yeah. So it's like...
She was, but she was also being overly picked on, and I don't think she'd carried it out the right way. No. But even when we watched the last season, I realized that Carol wasn't as close with Luann. I did get that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize Carol was the only one who was like indifferent and like just kind of like, you know, we were close. I'm sad. And I love that as friends, you can love somebody from afar.
You could support them. You could give them all the well wishes from afar.
Yeah, Carol made a lot of sense with that. Now, mm-hmm. the biggest part of the episode, and of course we have news and gossip coming up.
Yes.
And we're going to do our sports situation in a second too, which makes no sense and it's not real sports.
But you're going to love it anyways. It is
Housewives of New York type stuff that you could contribute to. Bethany and Ramona, where are you feeling with this situation?
Like, does it matter? Like, does it really matter where you live in the Hamptons? I'm sure they're all beautiful homes. Like, So
Ramona had no points by saying
that if you... I just think, like, Ramona... And I was going to ask you, like, do you think she realizes that she's being rude? Like, do you think she really says these things to be mean? Or she just is like Sonya and she just throws it out there and doesn't really think, like, what she's saying could hurt somebody?
I don't know that I 1,000% think Ramona stepped out of pocket too much.
Really?
Yeah, because if you flip this on the other side and Ramona was doing something and Bethany made a judgment about it, and mind you, like I said, I have a reason why I feel certain ways about mm-hmm. Bethany, and we'll talk about that in a second, but, like, Ramona, all she did was make a commentary of a suggestion. Wasn't really asked, but it did make sense, and it actually is probably true. And that doesn't negate the fact that Bethany is really good at business. That doesn't negate the fact that Bethany knows what she's doing, and she might be ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
But like, if the shoe were on the other foot, we would nobody would say, Bethany, it wasn't your business. Why did you give a suggestion to Ramona? We wouldn't do that. I don't think we would do that.
I think so, because I just think it was nasty. Like, she was saying she bought this home. Like, she bought a home in the Hamptons. She was very excited about it. And then Ramona's comment was kind of like, it's not, like, the best neighborhood in the Hamptons. Like, that's kind of like talking down on an accomplishment that someone has just, you know, done. Like, she achieved.
Well, okay, let me say this. I think it went there. I think Ramona got petty in the midst of the conversation.
Yeah, but you don't
think... I don't think she started that. That's all I'll say. I think... all she was doing was getting some conceptual information as, like, you know, value. Now, if I was Ramona,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't, even if my opinion was correct, because factually, it's true. Like, what Ramona is saying is actually, you know, or I mean, I'm not in real estate, so I don't know for sure, but to my views on Ramona, if she's saying something factually about, you know, if you are closer to a highway, the property value is down, I don't think there should be anything wrong with that. That's not rude. That's just lending an opinion. Where I would have been a little less out there, I would have said to myself, well, damn, Bethany's over here flipping this, flipping that. Regardless of what is the actual facts, obviously Bethany moves beyond those. So I think that's where Ramona messed up.
And I think also the thing that kind of changes my perspective on it is that Ramona kind of has a history of, like, digging at Bethany. And so I think Bethany just saw it immediately as a dig and not as just like a casual comment. It was just like, why are you taking another dig at me again for no reason?
True. And while Bethany was the entire reason I started really watching the show, like I saw the first couple seasons and it was whatever, but it was once she did like Bethany Ever After and I just like really tuned into the Bethany train. Mm-hmm. I've been about it the whole time, but I just felt like, if we're being objectively fair, now this is not me saying no to Bethany and delivering good and all these great things she's doing. It's just saying, like, at some point, is she bullying these women? Like, you're starting to see a trend. Okay, I'll jump to it, what I was going to say. I'll finish this. You're starting to see a trend of her bullying these girls because they don't really either stand up to her, or she just has too much power with the show, because we all know the behind-the-scenes stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, nobody wants to go up against Bethany.
Yeah.
So I'm watching Watch What Happens Live one day, and all of a sudden they're doing a speed round with Casey Wilson, the comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Casey Wilson was on SNL. She was hysterically funny on Happy Endings, and she's done a lot of really great things. And so they said, oh, if this person could go, this person could stay, you know what? I can't remember the exact game, but Bethany's name comes up. And so Casey Wilson has to say yay or nay. Like, does she stay, or, you know, is she your all-star, whatever the case? And Casey Wilson was like, I don't know. And so in my heart of hearts, I'm like, I like Casey Wilson. She's one of my favorites. She's really funny. And her podcast, Bitch Sesh, is hysterical. But I'm like, in my heart, I'm like, but how are you going to come for Bethany like that? And then she made some type of commentary. Forgive me for not having the exact, like, dialogue, but it was something along the lines of, like, I think we're over this, like, you know, her being so aggressive. No one really could stand on their 2 feet against her.
Like, it's running its
course. But Bethany's not mean. That's not what I'm saying.
I don't think she is at all.
But it is a thing where it's always Bethany, you know, being her. And I think it doesn't lend a great aspect to the show if none of the other women can challenge her. Like, I don't want a messy show. That's not what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, I think with every one of these franchises, you have the dominant woman and that dominant voice. And with New York, it's Bethany. With Atlanta, it's NeNe. With Beverly Hills, I'd say LVP.
I'm surprised you didn't say it was Erica Jane.
I think she's coming for that top. But LVP, like... she's a legend, you know? So I think every franchise, you know, Orange County, Vicky, like, they all have that one woman that's, like, the face. And everyone else, you know, like, has their moments to shine and is really funny and, like, whatever. But, like, that's just who Bethany is.
True. I just feel like I can watch her with the Frederick show. I could watch her doing all of her other things. And I love Bethany just as her.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is getting challenging, as pointed out by Casey Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm maybe taking something completely different, and it's the way I received information. It is like you get a little tired. Like, we always know Bethany's going to have stronger comebacks. We always know she's going to be more rational.
So you just want someone that could actually, like, stand up to her or play off of her better?
Yes, I don't even really need that because I'm not saying Bethany's value is only going to be if somebody could, snap back at her. That's not what I really need. I just feel like it's a lot of times where it's like, I feel bad for the girl that's getting... smash. It's like Bethany versus Dorinda. Dorinda is been so tough every scene, pretty much, except for when Bethany went after her.
Yeah, I mean, she cut herself.
Carol had the free ride, and now Carol's going to go up against her. Like, I guess that's the question for the chat. Like, even though we all love Bethany, and we do, the question for the chat in the comments on our iTunes and YouTube is, at some point, do we get tired of Bethany being so aggressive? Even if they say vile stuff to her and she's just defending herself... Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, if you are overpowering, maybe take a chill pill.
Yeah.
Maybe. I know this is good TV.
Yeah.
But don't you get, you're still here for it.
I'm here for it. I was thinking about this today. She is, I don't want to say selfish, but everything does kind of seem to revolve around her. And so that does get a little bit exhausting, and it's the same thing. But she's just so entertaining to where it's like, I'm okay with it. Like, she's
that awesome. and I love her a lot. That's why I said it's very like hard to even mention this. Yeah. But once it had been brought up, I was like, I kind of see that. She just, I mean, I don't know. She's too tough for these ladies. That's one. And then the second thing, oh God, and even saying that's hard because it makes me say like, I don't want Bethany off the show. Like, I need Bethany to be on the show.
Yeah, she's, like it wouldn't so be the good. Same show without.
But there we go. There's the blame. The Shed Media, they need to, like, split it a little bit and give us some more fun, Bethany. Like, it can't just be this all the time.
It's getting hard
for the viewers to take the punch. I feel like I'm taking the punch.
You know what? That makes sense. She does seem like she is a little bit more wound up. We don't see her really having that much fun. Mexico was great because they were all having fun. It was all, like, a little bit more, like, lighthearted Bethany. But you're right. She's more of the aggressor. Her life is being the aggressor.
Yeah, it's like the kid that is isolated in high school and eating lunch with the lunch lady versus, like, the star football player.
Yeah.
And that's what it feels like. And I really was like, when Casey Wilson made that comment on Watch What Happens Live, I'm like, oh my God, Casey, that's crazy. Bethany's the star of the show. And it really did open my eyes, and maybe it opened your eyes too, that like, Bethany, I don't want to see like the aggressor always, knocking these women down,
because
they don't have the comebacks. And she always seals it with a kiss when she goes, you talk to me when success comes your way. And who's going to,
who can talk to them?
She
has no challengers.
It's just a perspective. I don't want you, Chelsea, to think that I don't like Bethany. The reason I started watching the show.
She's the best.
Well, that and Luann. Yeah. And Sonia.
And the Countess.
And Dorinda. Lots of them. Have any final thoughts on Ramona and Bethany? Because if not, we can move on to this next game that we're going to play here.
No, let's do the game.
Okay, so we're going to do a... we are going to do... segments are a thing that we're going to start doing around AfterBuzz. And we wanted to do a sports analogy type thing because you are a big sports commentator.
I love sports. Yes, it's my life. I balance it out with this reality television, but yes.
Okay, yeah. I watched sports as a child. It was heavy in the home.
Yeah.
And now I'm a little bit more like on the Wendy Williams, like when sports intersects
with entertainment or pop culture. Yeah,
if I'm being honest. So my question, though, let's do a Hall of Fame from this cast.
Okay.
Let's do a who should get cut from the team from this cast.
Okay.
And let's do a who would you trade from another franchise to this franchise. So it'd be like coming to the New York Yankees, okay, so to speak.
It's the off season. We're making some moves. We're honoring some legends.
Yes, those are the three questions.
Okay.
How would you do it? I have my answers. Okay. We can go back and forth ping pong.
Yeah,
and you're welcome to write it on the YouTube channel, in the comments.
We want
to
hear from you, yeah.
Okay, Hall of Fame. Let's do that one at the end. Who do you trade from another franchise into this franchise for season 11 and why? Do you want me to go first?
I do. Okay. I do.
So, I feel like Kenya Moore is over Atlanta.
Mm.
I feel like I liked her moves this last season. I've liked her moves a lot of the seasons. And she is just into this New York thing and with Mark and the restaurant. And I feel like, let's throw a little Kenya Moore into the New York housewives. A lot of them are established. Like, they've been friends for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, Kenya Moore is just so fun to watch. So that's who I'm trading into New York.
That's fair. And they do need a pop of color in New York.
I mean, come on. Yes, POC, please. Yes. It's New York, after all. I mean, we have to.
We do. But I'm going to go against what I just said. I think I'm going to take Lisa Rinna, because Lisa Rinna is fun everywhere.
Okay.
And I think she could actually be, like, her, she would be what Bethany and Carol were, but funner. Like, Lisa Rinna is a blast, and I think her and Bethany would be, like, super fun together. Like, almost challenging Sonia and Ramona fun together. So, I would like that. Lisa Rinna is also a hustler, and maybe it could be a competitive thing. She's a hustler too, so Bethany might not like that. Like, I don't know. But I think Lisa Rinna. She could. I see her in New York. Her daughter just moved there.
I agree with you. That's a really good choice.
Yeah, it just came to me.
I'm not the biggest Beverly Hills fans.
Yeah.
Specifically because all the ones that I like, they get rid of. Like, I was an Adrienne Maloof fan, got rid of her. I was a Camille. I know Camille's kind of back.
Yeah.
So I don't really watch Beverly Hills because the people I like, they usually get rid of.
Yeah.
But Lisa Rinna is fun.
She's hilarious. Like,
she is about all of this mess. She is so.
And she lives for it, yes.
Okay,
yes.
I like that. So
and lives for
I
it.
Guess it's pretty open to interpretation, but now we have to ask you, in our second round of our sports questions, mm-hmm. For our sports reporter here,
mm-hmm.
Who do you cut from this team?
You know what?
Let's change that. Let's make it harder for you.
Okay.
As your inaugural reality TV situation with AfterBuzz. I want you to not cut Tinsley. She does not count. In our game, she has a broken arm.
She's got.
So she's on the disabled list.
She's got a guaranteed contract. Mm-hmm.
So you can't trade her off this. You can't put her on the bench.
Okay, so I need to get rid of anyone.
Okay, gotcha.
Let's see. I will get rid of Carol.
Okay. Reasons why?
Carol, she's the everyone else is funner and funnier and greater. So Carol, she's a little bit boring.
Okay, Carol. Okay, last question. Who is your Hall of Fame?
My Hall of Fame is pretty much everybody: Bethany, Luann, Drunk Dorinda, Ramona, and Sonia.
You can't induct the whole team. You have to induct. Okay, two.
Carol and Tinsley.
I'll give you two because we are wrapping soon.
Okay, let's see. Well, Bethany and Ramona.
Oh no, Bethany and Luann.
Luann. The Countess.
I want to see Luann perform live, and she's I'm a Luann fan. Okay,
I just love
we do have to wrap up. That's a fun game. If you want to continue to play, there's three categories. It is who goes to your Hall of Fame, who gets traded to another team. From another team, another franchise into
to
New York for season 11, hypothetically, and who gets cut like from the team.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't use Tinsley because that's who we all know is going to get cut.
Pretty obvious.
Let's go right into news and gossip real quick.
Yes, quickly we have Bethany's.
Oh, hold on. There we go. News from the news desk. Go ahead.
So, yes, as we mentioned, the episode started off with Bethany and the Be Strong Foundation and her contributions to the crises that were going on earlier last year. She's raised well over $1 million as of October, so that number could have gone up. And she is still making active trips to Puerto Rico to help people in need. And a lot of people within her cast has been helpful. She mentioned Tinsley donated $10,000, Ramona $3,000, and Lisa Rinna also helped out and contributed some money to what she's doing. And if you would like to donate, you could go to www.delivering-goods.org /be-strong.
And I'm sure all those links are on Bethany's page.
Yes,
and stuff.
Yes. And then we have Luann and the controversy of blackface. She came under a lot of fire initially when she posted a picture of her costume back in November, and again with a lot of people thinking that she was wearing blackface. She has responded to the criticism, and she has said that it was just a lot of Tanner, and that she understands why a lot of people would be upset by it, but that she's sorry and that wasn't her intention. Which she did look a little bit darker, but if she says it's Tanner, I'll take her word for it.
How do you think of all of it, though? Just the, Lena Waithe has been saying something really good, and it just, it can't always be said because there is a lot of just stuff going on and mm-hmm. hypocrisies and a lack of understanding. But I know that Lena Waithe, creator of Showtime's The Chi, she had said when she did a show on Netflix, it was about trying to find, it's hard to say, but she trying to find where cultural appreciation is rather than appropriation.
See, with Luann's costume, that's why I had an issue with the afro, because it was just a little bit too buffoonery for me. Like, if you're being someone like Diana Ross, who's a legend, who's a great, you want to play that as accurate as possible. So I don't think she really needed the self-tanner. I don't think she really needed the huge afro. She could have done a regular afro. Diana Ross also did long, straight hair. But her makeup, her eye makeup was on point. So it's just like, that was something, like, she... could have been a little bit more tasteful.
You're right. It's super sticky. And for her, you have to make a choice. Like, if you're going to do it and you know it's super sticky, you either do one of two things. You have to do it so accurate that there's an appreciation and or you do it over the top-ish, you know.
Take one of her best looks or something. You know? It was a miss for me. And then lastly, speaking of Luann, she was on Watch What Happens after the premiere, and she mentioned after her arrest in South Beach that when she was given her one call in jail, she didn't know who to call because she didn't remember anyone's phone numbers.
Nobody's.
And nobody except for Tom's.
She should have called Tom.
But that made me think, I was like, I really only know if I ever am in jail, I could just call my mom. I don't know if I want to call my mom. I don't know anyone's number by heart.
That would have been your TV show, though. that would have been your season 11. She had nobody. She should have called Tom.
She didn't have anyone.
She's over it.
Then she thought of her publicist, and her publicist didn't answer the phone.
Got it. So. Oh my gosh, so much to talk about. Keep the conversations going through all the chats and the iTunes and YouTube and all that stuff. Let's say goodbye. Thank you for watching. Like I said, next episode we'll have a full four-person panel. And of course, to the soldiers that did the show before us. Oh my God, Ashley. We love Ashley so much. So yeah, we're shouting them out and showing them so much love. I'm Ronnie Jr. That social media is going to be at RandomlyRJ. Quickly, Chelsea, what's your stuff?
Chelsea Stark Jones. You can find me on Instagram at C_S Jones and ChelseaStarkJones.com.
All right. Until then, we will laugh at Sonya Morgan as much as we possibly can. Thank you to Stephen in the booth. This has been After Buzz, after show for Real Housewives of New York. All right, thank you. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire After Buzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the After Buzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.